Now, coming up on Monitor, Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence Spivak. Ready for the unrehearsed conference are James Reston of the New York Times, Frank Burgholzer, NBC News, Ernest Lindley of Newsweek, and Lawrence E. Spivak. They will talk with Chancellor Konrad Adenauer of West Germany, who is making an official visit to the United States. Here is the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
The conferences just concluded between Chancellor Adenauer and President Kennedy have produced an agreement to stand firm on West Berlin and to strengthen the NATO organization. Dr. Adenauer, now 85 years old, has served as chancellor since 1949, and he now is a candidate for re-election. He is recognized throughout the world as an unyielding enemy of communism. He has been the chief architect of Germany's post-war recovery and renewed participation in world affairs. Dr. Adenauer began his career as mayor of Cologne, and he was one of the founders of the Christian Democratic Party. Assisting in our program today are two translators. With their help, we'll bring you a simultaneous translation. That accounts for the earphones. And now we're ready to start the questions. Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Chancellor, the communique which you and President Kennedy issued is written in such very diplomatic language that it's a bit difficult to know whether anything new and important came out of your meeting. Would you tell us what was new and important that came out of this meeting with President Kennedy?
Sehr gern.
I'd certainly like
Aber
to do so.
Ich meine, Sie hätten nicht
but,
recht, wenn Sie sagen,
I think you're not right when you say that the communique is in very diplomatic terms. I think that the communique is a very precise one and very exact. I would also like to point out that we discussed the leadership in NATO and that myself particularly, but I think on behalf of all, have very much urged that the United States, as by far the biggest NATO power, should take over the lead in NATO more strongly than they did over the past few years.
When you say the take the lead more strongly, what to do specifically? What would you have us do that we haven't been doing? We've assumed that we have taken the lead and that we have taken a strong lead. What would you have us do that would indicate we were taking a stronger lead?
President Kennedy,
President Kennedy was talking of cultivating more strongly the consultation than up to now. If this is being done, then it will be clearly recognizable what the views of the United States are in the questions to be decided upon. And that already means leadership, because if the United States from the very beginning in important matters discuss with the others and gives their views very clearly, then I think it is a matter, of course, that the other partners will think very thoroughly about what their opinion and position will be on those American views. And it will only be when they have very strong reasons that they will be in opposition to the views of the United States.
Well, now you say that you think the United States ought to take a stronger leadership. At the same time, there have been suggestions that we give up some of our leadership, particularly where nuclear weapons are concerned. Will you give us your opinion of Mr. McMillan's recent suggestion of having the U.S., Britain and France act as trustees of the nuclear deterrent in Europe?
This proposal is so little precise that it's not yet possible to take a position on it.
Would Germany like a voice in the use of nuclear weapons on the continent?
Well,
you are getting very indiscreet with your questions, but I'm trying not to evade them, not to duck them. I think that a three-power directorium would be impossible within NATO, even in the field of nuclear weapons, but now many people are studying whether it isn't possible with some votes to come to some classification of the votes, but all this is not yet concluded, and I think that all this will have to be discussed very thoroughly within NATO and examined.
Mr. Reston.
Mr. Chancellor, could you tell us what differences of policy or approach that you have found here as compared with the last time you were here under the Eisenhower administration?
Darf ich Sie bitten, welche Unterschiede im Auftreten oder wie meinen Sie das?
Ask you to tell me exactly what you mean by it. Mean the behavior or?
No, I was thinking primarily in terms of policy. For example, last year, as I understand it, the United States proposed the Herter Plan for the dealing with strategic atomic weapons. Now I understand there is a difference in the point of view of the Kennedy administration. Would you give us your views about that?
Es handelt sich dabei.
Now this is a political, but in my view, in the first line, a purely military matter. And I think that the military experts, of course, will have to be heard on this matter. I don't know whether this has been done up to now already.
There is, as I understand it, a point in your communique with President Kennedy which foresees raising the level of conventional weapons in Europe. Now, does this mean that you would allow atomic tactical weapons to remain in the planning stage where they are now, or is that also to be changed?
Ich habe das Kommuniqué hier.
I have the communique here, and if you permit me, I'd like to have a look at it so as to see exactly what the wording is.
Das würde damit nicht gesagt sein.
This I don't think is meant. It is true that we agree to fulfill the conventional objectives, or that we consider them as very important, but this does not mean that the planning in the nuclear field are in any way modified. Our communique says very clearly that we were jointly of the opinion that it is indispensable for the alliance to maintain and develop further all military means, which means, which includes the both the conventional and the nuclear means.
Mr. Lindley.
Mr. Chancellor, the Eichmann trial is on in Israel. Are you pleased or displeased to have the world and the German people reminded in that way and at this time of those dark pages in history?
Es ist nicht schön.
It's not
aber es muss mal sein.
Beautiful. It's not nice, but it has to be done. And therefore, I think we should
really
calmly and spread out all these horrors before the world opinion and also German public.
One hears it said sometimes that the German young people today are not being taught in the German schools very much about the rise and fall of Hitler and the crimes committed under the Hitler regime. Do you think that is the case?
Das war eine Zeit lang
that certainly was true for some time, had been true some time, but I think that has been changed in the meantime. You must not forget that children who go to school now have been born only after the Hitler regime was over and after the war was over.
Well, do you think it's important to have them instructed in the rise and fall of Hitler and the crimes of that period?
I'm of the opinion that nothing should be kept from them and nothing should be minimized, but that these very terrible things should be dealt with as a historic, and clearly made clear as a historic event. as with all other history. And one should not be silent about the fault, whose fault it is.
Mr. Burkholzer.
Mr. Chancellor, on the question of the Eichmann trial, is there any obligation on the part of the German government toward Eichmann as a German citizen?
Eichmann is no German national, German citizen, and we have no obligations whatsoever towards him.
Mr. Chancellor, on the question of balance of payments, which has been discussed frequently between the United States and West Germany, the new administration here seems to feel that it's wrong for a nation such as West Germany to have year after year a surplus in the balance of payments. Do you agree with this? And do you have any plans to shape German foreign aid programs in such a way as to eliminate balance of payment surpluses?
Please don't think that it is agreeable always to have a surplus.
That
wakens in the own people and in other people unpleasant thoughts, and we are fully prepared to use what we have in surplus to participate in development aid. But I should like to emphasize one point. In the question of economic aid, in my opinion, it is important that some coordination be brought into this complex matter. Otherwise, if we continue as we did up to now, we will not have the success which we all wish for.
Mr. Chancellor, we understand from the newspapers that you have sent a message to Soviet Premier Khrushchev while you have been in Washington. Is this a fact, and can you tell us whether there might be some conference or meeting between West German officials and Soviet officials in the near future?
The last point is completely new to me. This is not intended. It is true that a letter of Mr. Khrushchev's, whom he sent me a few weeks ago, was responded to during these few days. But as you know, I can't give you any details because we need mutual agreement to publish the letter.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Chancellor, you and President Kennedy ended your meeting with a joint pledge to strengthen the military defenses of the West. Can you, in fact, do that without fuller cooperation from General de Gaulle?
Of course we can, that de Gaulle's participation, but I hope that the visit President Kennedy will pay to Paris will be able to iron out the difficulties which exist between France and the United States, France and NATO.
Have you personally, I know you've had many talks with de Gaulle, have you gotten from him his minimal demands for full participation in NATO?
I don't know. But I am of the opinion that it's always the best to have very frank discussion about these questions.
Well, you say it's well to have frank discussions about them. Have you had frank discussions with de Gaulle about them?
I haven't seen de Gaulle for several months, but I'll meet him again in Bonn in May, and I'm certain that after all these questions of NATO and of the reactivation of NATO, which it needs, are on the agenda. I will also talk to de Gaulle about these matters when I meet him next.
Mr. Chancellor, one other question. Would you like to see the European Free Trade Association merged with the common market? Have England join it?
I think that the way would be the following, that individual countries now being EFTA members and the EFTA ties are not as strong as the ties of the six will join us and then gradually a very really close association or a full merger will take place, and I would welcome that very much.
Mr. Reston.
Mr. Chancellor, may I ask you a philosophic question? Is there in the youth of Germany, the young people who have grown up since the war, is there a new European spirit which is different from the spirit when you were a young man in Germany?
Ein ganz anderer Geist.
A completely different spirit.
Als ich junger Mann war,
when I was a young man,
hatten einzelne
some individuals had ideas about Europe. I make part of them, by the way, because when I was 25 years old, I already had this idea that the European countries should go together more closely. Today, in Germany, we find that the European idea is really the one the youth is most attracted to.
There are a lot of politicians in this city at the present time who would like to be engaged in a national election for the chancellorship when they are 85 years old. Could you give us the secret of doing that? We'd be very interested in that.
In
my opinion, nothing keeps you as healthy and as strong than to work often and much and regularly.
Mr. Lindley.
Mr. Chancellor, on the basis of that diagnosis, would you be willing to predict that Khrushchev will live to be 85?
Now, this is a very tricky question. I wish he will become, get old. You know what you have, but you never know what the next will be.
Mr. Chancellor, I believe that in his letter to you a few weeks ago, Mr. Khrushchev indicated that he still regards a change in the status of Berlin as an urgent matter. How long do you think it's likely to be before he provokes another crisis over Berlin?
Das kommt darauf an,
well, it all depends on the general political development. If you look back, you will see that Berlin has always been taken up again when somewhere else in the political situation something existed which the Soviet Union didn't like, so they took up the Berlin question to detract from the other problem.
You don't think the timing might have some relationship with the next Congress of the Communist Party is to be held in, or the Communist Party of the Soviet Union to be held, I believe, in October?
Kann sein.
Maybe.
Dass er doch Beziehungen dazu hat.
That there is some relationship with it.
Do you think that, would you like to see Mr. Khrushchev and President Kennedy meet at the summits, even informally, between now and the autumn?
Ich weiß nicht, ob Sie,
I don't know whether you have already the information about the talk between Khrushchev and Mr. Lippmann. In that talk, he said that he had quite understood President Kennedy to need some time in order to get familiar with the problems. And I think that's a very reasonable stand. And really, the new president is right in the midst of all these new problems. And I think one should leave him and his enough time to have a clear view of the whole situation. In this matter, really 1 or 2 or 3 months are of no importance. But this will be up to President Kennedy when he thinks it fit, when he thinks the time has come for him to talk to Khrushchev.
Mr. Burkholzer.
Chancellor Adenauer, the work on rockets, which is at the basis of both the Soviet Union's and this country's space explorations, was originally done, as far as we know, mostly by German scientists. I wonder if you could tell us if there are scientists in West Germany now, if there are developments there that might help the United States catch up with the Soviet Union if something were done that's not being done.
You know that after the breakdown of Germany, the German scientists who were working on this matter, especially for the greater part, have been transferred to Russia and given to Russia, even by the United States, so that unfortunately German knowledge was also the basis of the Soviet development in this field. We are not supposed to, not allowed to work in this field, except in the field of pure research, but as I have heard also in my talk with President Kennedy, that you are very interested also to have Germans participate in this matter, I will certainly take it up after my return.
Gentlemen, we have about 2.5 minutes. Mr. Reston.
Mr. Chancellor, I don't put this question to you in a hostile spirit, but there are two things in this country that still trouble some people. One, whether the aggressive spirit of Germany of the past is now dead. And secondly, whether in the field of commerce there is any desire for a kind of commercial rapallo with the Soviet Union.
Let me take the second question first. You're talking about commercial repeller. I can only say that small part of the German economy might have some interest in the Soviet with the Soviet Union, but this certainly cannot be termed a repeller. And I haven't felt anything of the aggressive spirit. We have a very strong, we have had a very strong cognition through this war, because when your country is destroyed the way our country was destroyed, then you know really what war means, and you know that aggression is, does not bear fruit.
Mr. Spivak.
Mr. Chancellor, would there be any changes in foreign policy regardless of whether you or Mayor Willy Brandt were elected Chancellor?
Do you want to put this question to me in September, please? After the elections? My opinion, one shouldn't now try to pass any judgments which are actually of no meaning.
Well, gentlemen, I think we've covered a great deal of territory today, but I'm sorry that I must now interrupt, but I see that our time is up.
Our thanks to Chancellor Adenauer and to the members of the panel, James Reston of the New York Times, Frank Burkholzer, NBC News, Ernest Lindley of Newsweek, and Lawrence E. Spivak. Meet the Press, which is celebrating its 16th anniversary on the air, is produced by Lawrence Spivak.